Good to see you here this morning. For you folks who are visiting or here for the first time, let me tell you what we're doing here now, and then the rest of you already know, but we are on a deep dive through Hebrews chapter 11. We are spending a little more time than usual going over and spending time in the accounts of the people who are mentioned in Hebrews 11, who really are our Old Testament saints, you know, not the only Old Testament saints, but they're the ones that we know for sure. Like, these people are commended for their faith in the Lord, and they're described as being in heaven waiting for us, cheering us on as we cross the finish line. Amen? Amen. And so we spent time on three people so far, okay, and this is our fourth person. And we spent a lot, most recently, we spent a couple weeks on Noah. Did you enjoy the time in Noah? I actually had more comments, more positive comments. I can't gauge whether a sermon's good by positive comments. I can't do that. But I had many people that felt strongly about last week's sermon. And I think that spoke to some people. So we spent 2 weeks on Noah. So we've got Abraham next. We're going to spend more time on Abraham. At least 3 weeks, but it could turn into longer, but right now it's my plan, 3 weeks. And Abraham is held up really as a very good, very strong example of faith that we have in the Bible. The Bible gives us that. So let's just begin by reading these verses that we're going to cover from Hebrews, but we're going to get into Genesis and stuff as we do this too. But Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8, says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. Thank you for all who have gathered here together today, Lord. We are here because we want to seek your face together. We want to hear from you through your word. We want to experience genuine fellowship with one another. We want to serve you. We want to be part of your body and be at work here, Lord. And so we ask your blessing on our church and in our time together. We pray that we really truly hear from you, and we hear your voice today through your word, and that we leave changed because of our encounter we've had with you. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have to bear with me for just a moment because I forgot something. What I forgot was to say thank you to all you wonderful people for all the pastor appreciation last week. That was at the top of my list, and I forgot it. But thank you so much. We're so blessed. We love our church so much. You only said one thing wrong last week. You said I only worked one day a week, but the truth is I don't work any days here because this is not a job, and you don't work. It's not like a job when you're doing what you love, right? It's not really like work. It's good. It's a blessing. And I think I'd be doing so much of it even if I didn't have it as a job. Amen? All right, so back to Abraham, and we're going to start in Genesis. Can we go back to Genesis? Is that all right with you guys? We need to take a vote on this or anything? All right. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It looks like we have the proper slides today. Okay, good. Genesis 12, 1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.'" First of all, why is it Abram instead of Abraham at this point? Because originally his name was Abram. Later on, we'll see his name is changed to Abraham. That's not today. So today he's referred to as Abram. I'll probably continue to refer to him as Abraham, but I'll use that interchangeably. It said the Lord said to Abram. We don't really know exactly how the Lord did this, how he delivered this. Did the Lord speak this audibly to him? Did the Lord impress this through the Holy Spirit on him? It doesn't say, but it happened. God said this to him. It was really God that said this to him. You know, every time somebody says, "God said this to me," probably is not really God saying that to them. Okay? A lot of times people will say, well, God said this, God said that. I've had a person saying, you know, that they were just, I was having a conversation with God the other night, and he told me that I should get this reverse mortgage, and you know, things like that, you know, that are going on. Take it rather lightly. Now, on the other side of that, we better be listening for when God does speak to us. And I believe that he does speak to us, but I think we got to be really cautious about how we express that, you know, how lightly we take that, you know. I want to be certain that it was God that said it. That's where I am coming from. I want to be certain that it was God that said that. And sometimes there's some confirmation over time. Well, the Lord said this to Abram. He said, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. If we spend a little more time in this, we'd actually back up and go to Genesis 11, where it kind of lays out the beginning of the story, which talks about Abraham's dad, Terah, and it talks about how they were beginning to go, really, to the land of Canaan. They were really beginning to go, but they stopped along the way, and they stopped, and I think they probably found a place and settled in this place that they're talking about here, Haran. They were originally from a place called Ur of the Chaldeans, and so they were leaving that place, going down into what would eventually be the promised land. They were already heading to the place that Abraham would be called to go to. And they lived there, and he had a brother there that died, and his father also died there. Now there's some, if you really want to dig in and kind of look at the ages of Terah when he died and Abraham when he died, and look at what it says in the New Testament about Terah's life, there's some things to wrestle with there. It's very possible that although Abraham is mentioned as the first in the order of his brothers, that he may not really actually be the first, because there's some things to reconcile about the age of his father and how old he was when he left and how old he was when he died and such. I won't go into all that today. I just want to bring that to your attention. That's for further study for you. But all that is background in Genesis chapter 11 for what you would see beginning in Genesis 12, and then it goes on and continues. But the Lord did say this to Abraham. He told him, he said, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. He called him to leave where he was, to leave a place where, we'll see this in just a few more verses, that it was a place probably of comfort and prosperity for him, to leave that place and to go. And guess what? God said, you're going to go to a land that I will show you. Not a known land. He didn't describe it to him yet. He didn't complete all the promise. He didn't give him all the information, but he gave him partial information. But he just called him to obedience, to go, to have faith that this is God speaking to you, and God says to go. Now, I just have to laugh a little bit about this, you know, because we don't work this way very well, do we? Like, we really want the information. Like, well, where am I going? What time are we getting there? I have a funny story to share. I didn't talk to Hannah about this, but I'm sure this one is okay. But this one time, I wanted to surprise her and take her out for our anniversary. And I got one of those Argosy cruises with the steak dinner that they make. And it was made by the Metropolitan Grill in Seattle, which is really good steak. Just on the side, really good steak. Really, probably second best steak I've ever had. Like, mine was first, and this is second. No, not really. This was a really good steak. And this was a total surprise. And I'm like, we're going to go down, and I'm going to surprise her. Like, I got this. We're going. She's like, where are we going? I'm like, it's a surprise. What shoes do I need? It's a surprise. You know, and it was just peppered me with questions. Just kept peppering me with questions. Well, are we going to be late? Are we going to do this? And in my fallen humanity, at one point, I said, fine, that's enough. We're going. We're going out to dinner. We're going on a cruise. We're going on this. There's going to be dinner there and all this. I just couldn't do it because it just peppered me with so many questions, you know. And I just finally gave up. That was immature of me, though. If I was, I pray that maybe now I could. I'm mature enough that maybe I could hold that in and not get frustrated and tell her it all. But I kind of think that was a picture of how we often are, you know. Like, we want the answers, you know. We want to know, like, okay, what, God, what? Is there anybody here who's kind of living in a time of uncertainty in your life right now, where there's like uncertainty, you're in the midst of uncertainty? And I think if you think hard enough, that might actually be more of you than raise your hand. Like, Now, I don't know. I do know there's seasons in your life. If you guys, you guys who are young, there's a lot more uncertainty in your life. You don't really know what things are going to look like, especially as you become come to the end of high school or if you're college. You're facing like seasons of uncertainty. You know, it's a scary, but it's an exciting time. Now, some of us, you settle down in life a little bit more, and you just remember what that was like. And I hope maybe today, in a little bit though, even if we're kind of planning a life, we can kind of recapture that a little bit of knowing about the uncertainty that's out there, and that God calls us into things, and God calls us to serve, and that we're willing to leave our comfort zone for Him. Amen? To leave where we're comfortable. So this was the call of Abraham. Now, there was more information given. This is what God said. He said, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And if we looked at that background in Genesis chapter 11, it tells us that Sarai, again, his wife Sarah, name changed later on, now it's Sarai, she was barren. She couldn't conceive. Why is that so much a part of the story of the Bible? Amen? I mean, so many times it's just repeated again and again, but God does a miracle. And he brings something, he brings into a situation in life where it looks like life could not happen at all. And we're going to spend some time in that, as we go through. But he's talking to a man who doesn't have any children, and he's saying, I will make you a great nation. You are going to be a great nation. He doesn't have any children, but you're going to be a great nation. More on that later. He says, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So really there were four things. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Your reputation will be great, your name will be great, what you stand for will be great, and you will be a blessing. With that, he says, go. I kind of picture it like this. He didn't give him the full plan at this point, but he says, go, I'm going to do these wonderful things, and I'm going to make you a blessing. Be willing to go, and go. And then he explains that blessing a little bit more. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Was God's favor on Abraham going to be on Abraham? Absolutely. Not only was his favor going to be on Abraham, it was going to be on those who would bless him. But if people cursed Abraham or stood in the way of Abraham, then God was against those people. Amen? That's what he was saying. He was giving him that encouragement, that assurance to go ahead and to go, even though all the information wasn't given. Now, how is it that in Abraham all the families of the earth shall be blessed? I read ahead. His name is Jesus. And this is one of those typical Sunday school questions, right, where you say, the answer is Jesus. But watch out when I try to trick you a little bit, and ask the question in a little bit different way to make sure that you're listening to the end of the question. Because some people don't listen to the end of the question. And therefore, did I get amen in the back? You have to go to Sunday school to know what I'm talking about. But you guys here in Sunday school, you know. Oh, I can't say what the prize is for winning, can I? I shouldn't do that here. Because I don't want to get too... I mean, should I say it? You going to help pay for some of the steak? We do these... in our adult Sunday school class, we do these... I broke it up into teams, and we're having contests against each other, and we do review of the sermon, and we do review of the Sunday school. So we've got four different teams, and so I decided... Again, I need to tell my wife this... But I decided that the winning team got to come over to our house for dinner, and I would make steak, and they would bring, like a potluck, bring the rest of the dishes.
And their spouses.
So, I'm sorry?
I said, and their spouses.
Yeah, and it was and their spouses. No, it was. I had already said that. And their spouses, so long as they're coming to Sunday school and they're on that team. Amen? All right, I like to do this, right? I like to do this kind of thing. But the main point is we ask these questions and we're trying to just study and we're trying to have fellowship and get to know people and spend time with one another. So that's what we do. And so getting back to this, Jesus Christ is the answer.
Amen.
He's the answer. I mean, really, he is the answer to whatever problem that you have, whatever difficulty you face. It's in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how all the earth is blessed. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave who? He gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting. Or do you want eternal? I see what happens is I have all these different translations running through my mind. So sometimes what you'll get is the conglomerate translation that I'll give you, all right? So all the world be blessed through Christ. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. I think that's a big verse right there. So what happened? He obeyed God. He went. He went. He followed the call of the Lord. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Now, I think it's a blessing to have missionaries with us today. We have this because you guys were called by God and you didn't know what it looked like, right? You didn't really know what was going to happen. You didn't know what it was going to be like for this family that you didn't even have at the time that you were called, and you couldn't picture what it would look like. But you've sensed God's calling. Now, maybe God didn't speak to you audibly or something, but you sensed God was calling you to go, and you went. And you went in originally in a different capacity than you are now, and then God laid this plan out for you about how he would use you, but you went. Praise the Lord. You went. And I think at the heart of this message is, I don't really know what God is calling each of us to here, but the thing is, if God is calling you to something, will you go? Will you go? Will you say, here I am, Lord, send me. I'll go. Or will you come up with all the reasons not to go? Now, sometimes you might be asked to do something, and you have to pray about it and decide whether that's really God asking you to do something or that's something that people are asking you to do. And you have to decide, am I being obedient to God to stay, or am I being obedient to God to go? But you have to really determine that, and you have to take that into account. So Abram knew that it was God calling, and he went. And Lot went with him. This is his nephew. It's his brother who died, son. And he was cared for by his father, Terah, and now eventually by him. And he goes with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, being 75 for Abraham, what that really means, kind of equivalent for us, is it's a little bit before the midpoint of his life. It's not quite he lived to be 175 years. So this is not halfway through his life, but it's almost. It's getting close to that point. So the actual midpoint of his life, 87.5 years. So I kind of think, okay, this is either the prime of his life, or it's actually like a little bit past. It's like this, like, you know how like in some ways you have your physical prime, like your body's in really good shape, everything's working really good, you know, but that doesn't mean that's your mental prime or your prime of like spiritual prime or emotion or those kind of things. You have a lot of growing to do and maturing to do. I think he's a little past that physical prime, but he's in a point of his life, which is what you might call more like midlife. So I think it's kind of like 40s or something for us is what it would seem like, you know, as you look at it. And he's established, right? He's established where he is, and God calls him to go. Now, another interesting thing, the place where they ended up is called Haran in English. His brother who died, that was his name in English. But actually in Hebrew, it's a different word. So like when you read it in English, I think it is a good question. Did they go and settle in this place and then name it for his brother? That was my question. But I can't really say that because it's actually a different word in Hebrew. It just sounds the same. Different spelling. And that'd be another thing you can dig into more, but it's very, very interesting. So he's called out at this point in his life, which I think is kind of a prime point in his life, but he's old enough that he's probably quite settled to where he is. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, then the verse continues. But again, Sarai is his wife, who eventually is called Sarah. But if you look at it, and you look at this verse, it tells us he already had a lot of wealth where he was. Things were settled down. No. So like I think about myself, like I was an army brat growing up. We moved every 3 years. We moved different places, lived in Germany twice. You know, I was born in Virginia. We lived in North Carolina. We moved all the time. And I think probably my sister and I, we're both like similar. We decided we didn't want to move anymore. We just settled down into where we were. And this is home. And I remember moving a bit in college and like in my early career and stuff. But eventually when we bought our house here, we're like, we're here. This is where we're at. So we lived in the same house now since we moved down here in 2003. So 20 years in that house, pretty much raised all our kids there, plan to continue to be there. What the scary thought would be if someone said to me, like, move right now. That's a scary thought in my thinking. Plus, no matter how big your house is, you can fill it up with junk over 20 years. Well, I shouldn't say junk, possessions. So if I were like called to move and take like all my possessions with me, that's a scary thought. I have to probably get rid of some or leave some behind. But you know, he had a lot. I want to paint the picture that this wasn't simple for him to get called and moved. And God doesn't always call us to what's simple and what's convenient, maybe what we want or the way we're thinking. He sometimes calls us to pick up a lot and go through a big move and go through a big change. God will do that. He can do that. And if we're ever sitting there like, no, God, I don't want to do that. Okay, that's not a good place to be. We do have to be willing to go where God calls us to go. But we got to make sure that it's really God calling us. Amen? I still want to continue and tell you, he didn't have all the information at this point, but he had faith in God, what God was telling him. Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh, and at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. So the Canaanites would be the people that would ultimately stand against them and that they would have to move out of the land here. And God was dealing with the Canaanites and their sin and what they did and some of their evil practices that they had. But he goes into the land and he goes to these places that actually are quite important places that we see. And as we've been studying the book of Joshua and the book of Judges, we see these places and we see things happening in these places. It said, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. And this is where I'm making the point that he didn't even know when he left that the place he was going, God said, I'm going to give to your offspring and you will have offspring and I will give them this land. That actually wasn't spelled out for him until now, until he got to the land and he could see the land. He was in the land. But God appeared to him now this time, it says, and he said to him, I'm giving this land right here, this land where you are, to your offspring. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. He built that altar marking that God appeared to him there. And he met with the Lord there. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east side of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and he called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on still going toward the Negev. So he's moving down through Israel as he goes. He's moving through. And again, he's calling on the Lord. And he's seeing, you know, what it is that God has called him to possess. And so that's the account from Genesis. Now, if we go over to Hebrews, we switch over to Hebrews, it gives us a compressed version of this. But it begins to explain why Abraham was a man of faith and why he is an example to us of the kind of faith that we should have. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. So Abraham was called to go out and Abraham obeyed. And I think a big part of this and a big reason why Abraham is a prime example and he's used in scripture so much is that we absolutely believe that we're saved by grace through faith and it's not by works and none of us can stand before God and claim all the good things that we've done, but we're saved by grace through faith. But we go back to that, what we talked about in Romans. We're saved by faith alone, but faith is never alone. Amen? You remember that? We're saved by faith alone, but faith is never alone. So if we have true faith in the Lord, that is going to be visible in our actions, in our obedience to that faith, in the changes that we would be willing to make, in the sacrifices that we would have. And so you could actually see his faith. You could see his relationship with God by what he did. Reminds me of youth group. We were at youth group. We were talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit's like the wind, and how and when people are reached by the Spirit, it's like the wind. And we were talking about what they meant, how you can, you can't see the wind, but you can see the leaves blowing in the wind. Right? You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of what the wind does. And it's like this with Abraham's obedience. And if you or I have true faith in the Lord, then there is obedience that comes along with that. Do we instantly become perfect people? No, absolutely not. Do we still struggle with sin? Yeah, the battle is still there, but we grow in that. And the Lord is there to do that. That's the spiritual walk with the Lord. So Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't have all the information. He didn't see it. He didn't say, well, let me go check it out first and I'll decide whether I'll go there or not. He just believed God. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise. So this is the promised land that he's going into. But he went, he said, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. This promise was made to him and his offspring. But when he went, he lived like a foreigner in that land. He lived like a foreigner in that land as migrant people that went around in tents. And not only did he, but his sons did, and his son did, and his grandson did. They all lived in that same way, that this land wasn't their own. And I think it gives us a little understanding when we look at the next verse. It says, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He was looking beyond just that land, it says. He was a man of faith that looked ahead, looked forward. What was he looking forward to? He was looking forward to an even greater city. What was that great city? I think he's referring to Revelation 21, 10 through 14, even though he didn't know that he was, really. I think he knew what he was looking forward to. He was looking forward to the city that God was bringing. But he's Revelation 21, 10 through 14, it says, and he carried me away into the Spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Amen. I'm getting chills thinking about that. That's an Eric expression there. You know? But it's true. Like, you think about it. Like, I think he's looking forward to the eternal kingdom of God, not just where he is living and what's going on, you know. I pray we all could see past our circumstances better than we do. Amen. Right? A lot of times we're just caught up in what's going on in our lives and here and now. And we got to get our focus on the Word of God and on the promises of God and on God Himself and knowing Him and worshiping Him and walking with Him. Amen. So, as I think about this, you know, like I mentioned, Abraham, he didn't have all the answers to all the questions. He didn't even necessarily ask, but what he did is he believed God and he obeyed God. And he obeyed because he believed. So that's a model of faith for us. So my question for you is, do you have faith in God? Do your actions, do they follow that faith? Are they consistent with that faith? And are you gonna make that really the thing that you stand on in your life? So I try to tell people this when I get in these situations, but it's happened to me a couple times recently where I've had the opportunity to speak to somebody near death or in the hospital or something like that, or facing very serious things, and it's a really humbling position to be in. But I was actually really blessed last night to visit with somebody that shared with me his story. And I got to do like a debrief, because I actually just got to listen to this person's story about some very painful things that happened in his life. and how he hated God because of it. And he hated God. But he had all these people in his life that stood strong in the Lord and had faith in God and kept pointing him to God. And he had these people in his life, but he really resented God and he really struggled with God. And he blamed God because those four people slowly died in his life, you know, one at a time over the years. And he tried to help himself by medicating himself and doing different things, you know. And he's probably hurting somewhat as a result of that today. But he said in the hospital that he didn't want to do that anymore. Amen. And that he wanted to see God. And he wanted to know God. And he wanted to see his family again. So what's humbling for me is that I come with a certain strength to someone like that, health-wise, physically. But I know what the truth is. Unless Jesus comes back first, someday every single one of us are going to be at that place where we're brought down to the very lowest point. Where maybe in just days or something, or maybe not, maybe we're going to come back. But because I think this man, I believe he's going to get stronger, but I don't know for sure. But if looking at him, that's my assessment. But when we get to that point where we're going to go and stand before a holy God, this life is about hearing his call in our life, all the times that he's called us into a relationship with him and in fellowship with him. At its simplest sense, it's about finally saying yes to him, giving your life to him, following him, you know, doing, serving him, living the life for him, like taking, you know, whatever time you have left and saying, I want to do this for you, Lord. And I want to go where you tell me to go and do what you tell me to do. And I think that's like the journey that we're all on. So I step back and I think about this whole thing about Abraham and like where we are and how all this fits together and why God gives me this kind of experience, which I didn't know I was going to have. I think for me, the question is, when God calls you to do something, do you have the kind of faith that you would allow your whole life to be turned upside down because you believe in God and nothing comes before his call? Do you have that kind of a faith in him? And I hope and I pray that you do. And maybe it's also like a growing time. I can't say that I've always had that kind of faith in the Lord. And I sometimes don't even know if I do now, honestly, as I look at it. I know that at one point in my life, we felt like the Lord was calling us to move down here from where we lived. I had a job in Seattle and we had a home in Linwood. And I felt that the Lord called us to move back home, and we sold our house and we picked up all of our possessions. And I still remember one of the greatest feelings in my life was that day we were coming down the hill in the Ryder truck. It was like, we're going, because we were from here, the two, we're going back home, we're going to this place, but it was an incredible, exhilarating feeling to have this big change going on in life. It was exciting.
Amen.
Right? When we did that because I felt like God wanted us to be down here closer to our family and closer to some friends we had. I had no idea that someday I would stand here as the pastor of this church. I had no idea. God did not give me that information. And I could say now that I do believe that that was the Lord speaking to me, and the Lord was, in the moment, it's more like, I believe this is, you know, and we tested it and we went out on it. And I believe that God had a plan and he brought us here. And I'm really thankful that he has, that he did that. And life changed a lot. There were many different things. Things were very different. They took a definite turn. And I know that we did that. And sometimes I think, are there other times when God has called me to do something that I don't want to do? But I don't want that to be the case. And I hope that you don't want that to be the case. And I hope that you would be willing to go if God calls you to go. And it might even be go to the hospital and see somebody or something like that. Like I was thinking, this was somebody I didn't know. I really want to resist making this about me, but I'm sharing this to make you understand. So I'm not saying any of this. I want you to see the internal struggle that a real person has, right? Okay. I went to WSU to to watch a football game with Jeremiah Thursday. And I was in Pullman when I got this text to go visit this person. My plan was to go home and watch the Husky game because I had spent all that time watching the Cougars. And I never liked the Cougars. Just my son goes, or I go for the Huskies, you know. But no. In my flesh, I was like, oh, it's hard to go. It's hard to go. I'm tired. Sometimes to help myself, I play a little Keith Green track in my head. So I played the Keith Green track of the song that says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." That helped me to go, you know. And then I went and I was like, wow, I was blessed. I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. Hearing a man pour out his heart, share his hurts, you know. So I just want to say, I just want to leave this as a last thought with you. When God calls you to go, he's going to bless you in that. He's going to bless you in that. He's not calling you to go to punish you. He's calling you to go to bless you and to bless others. Amen? All right. That's all I got for you today. Well, let's pray and the worship team will come up to close us out. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, so, so very much for what you do in our lives and how you speak to us and how you call us and how you are patient with us. And even when we don't respond as we should, Lord. And so I just want to ask your blessing on each person here that we could hear your voice clearly, that you would strengthen us and encourage us and move us to exactly where you want us to be to serve you in the way that you want us to serve you. Thank you. We love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.